Blog Talk Radio.
You can't touch this.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it goes down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots be on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Now the war is not over. Victory isn't won. But we'll fight on to the finish. And then when it's all done, we'll cry glory. Oh, glory. Oh,
oh. Selma is now for every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. No one can win a war individually. It takes the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory. The coming of the Lord, my eyes have seen the glory.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, glory. Oh,
glory. Hello, guys. This is Leonard Johnson from the Run the Hammer Facebook site, coming to you on a Monday evening, Monday afternoon, whatever you want to call it. And I need to put in there, also the head football coach at Lake Marion High School. And we're coming to you on Monday night with a new segment of our show. So, on Sundays, we normally feature the wing coaches, but something came to me about a couple of months ago, and I just said, well, let's try and see if this will work. And what I wanted to do was, long wanted to do a show highlighting the African-American head coaches and their accomplishments in the state of South Carolina. You know, we have some special issues, and we've all long operated under the shadows of other coaches, and we normally don't get the credit that we do get working with our kids and dealing with some of the things that we as African-American coaches deal with. So we just wanted to get this thing and show you that there are guys out there who are really doing this thing. Our goal is to talk 3 African-American coaches in the state of South Carolina. I think there are 35, 36 of us. And we just wanted to see what insights they have and what things that they're doing in their program to be successful. We're going to start off tonight with Nate Thompson from Carvers Bay High School. And for the rest of the month, and I can't think of the order and everything, but for the rest of the month, we got Butch Crosby from Bamberg Earhart. We got Tommy Brown from Orangeburg-Wilkerson and Reggie Kennedy from Irmo High School. So we started off with a good group of guys to, you know, just to get an overall flavor of what they're doing in the program to make it so successful, from the big programs to the little programs, medium programs. And again, our goal is to talk to every coach, every African-American coach in the state of South Carolina. So we hope we can pull this off. I'm waiting on Nate to call in and hope that he does it, because you know, Nate is one of the top coaches in the state. I mean, he's done it all. He's a great leader as far as he's come up through the ranks as far as the association represented as well. And he'll talk about that when he gets on. But you know, we just want to get this thing highlighted and get it started. This is the initial show, and we just want to get you on the limelight, just to see what you can actually teach us, because I learned so much from these shows. Things that I'm implementing in my program right now. And we learned so much. We talked from guys across the country, but I just wanted to get a flavor for what the coaches in South Carolina is doing and get you to have dialogue with them. We see them all the time, but a lot of times we really don't know these guys. Nate and I go back a long ways. I remember him when he was back at Choppy High School. And we used to have battles when I was down at Burke High School, and that's when I got to know Nate very well. And a good, a very good guy, a hell of a guy. And I'm not going to think too well of him if you don't get him a telephone and get on in here and call. If any of you want to call in, the call-in number is 516-418-5610, and you can call in at any time to ask questions. To me or to Nate, or to have any questions about anything, we'll be glad to answer those questions. So again, that number is 516-418-5610. And you know, we just want all kind of participation in this because as I told you, everything that I've learned in this business, I learned by asking older guys. I remember some of the guys I used to bug all the time when I was a young coach. Virgil Wells out of Mayo High School in right there in Florence. You had Marty Risher, who was at that time at Burke High School. You had Coach Bolden at C.A. Johnson High School. I mean, so many guys. And then you had the great one, Willie Jeffries, who when he was at State, I used to go up there all the time and just pick his brains on things and everything. So I think the only way to get good at this thing is to ask those guys who are really, really doing it. And what I found out, the more successful a coach is, the more he's willing to share the information with you. I mean, those guys, I get all the time, you know, and I'm not that successful, but I get calls all the time, and whatever guy wants, I just pack it up and send it to him. You know, it was given to me, and I think my thing in life is to give it back, you know. We don't try to monetize it, you know, anything. We just give and try whatever we can to help you guys to to become successful in your program, which is good, because if we're helping you to become successful, then that means your kids are becoming successful. And that's what we're in this business for, helping, making sure these kids are successful and going to lead productive lives and be have an impact on life. You know, this weekend we just had the basketball championships, and wow, there were some close games. I didn't get an opportunity to go down. I had some other commitments and everything, but hats off to those guys who won state champions. And you know, I was so proud of some of them, and you know, the way they carried themselves, and I was very proud of my home city school, Burke High School. They won the state championship, and I was thrilled to see that. And man, I they were good games, I tell you that. All the ladies and the men, they did good. Look, oh my goodness, look like Nate is on. Let's see if we can pull my man on in here. Nate, you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, man, what's going on?
How you doing, Chief? How you doing? I'm most appreciative you called. Sorry I'm a little late. I was just getting in. I was outside, and I was rushing to make sure I got on time.
Well, you did all right, man. Man, you had me talking more than I like to talk. You know, I'm not that big a talker, but I carried us a little bit, okay?
Thank you. I'm most appreciative. She's doing fine. I mean, the family's doing good. They send their love.
Okay, well, that's good, man. You know now. You got to take care of mama. You know, if you don't take care of mama, you don't hear from me.
Well, I'll make sure I do that, because I was – yes, sir.
You know, I really appreciate you coming on, man. I was explaining earlier why I'm doing this, to give a platform for the African-American coaches. You know, to tell a little bit about the program and you know, to get these guys to know us a little bit, because a lot of guys don't know us, and they don't know. I remember when I was a young guy. I mean, I would be, you know, when I saw some of these guys walking around, man, I would be afraid just to even get in their presence and everything. You know, it was scary.
I know exactly what you mean.
So, man, should I see somebody there?
I was very fortunate that, I was very fortunate that, you know, that, when I was coming up, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know that, you know, I was coming out of college and I was wrestling, but I really loved football, but I didn't know how well I could do. But I was lucky enough that I had a parent, which was going to be my brother-in-law. He took me in and raised me with my sister, and he was a football coach. And he kind of steered me and showed me some things about football, of how well he took care of kids and how well kids responded to him. And I said to myself, that's something I wanted to do. And I got with him and I went through South Carolina State College, and I got back out. And my first year in 1980, I was at Myrtle Beach High School, and I was a B-squad coach. And I sat around, I looked around, I said, oh, man, I'm the head coach. What am I going to do? I've never had that kind of responsibility. I loved coaching, but that was a big responsibility at the time. And he came in, and I said, you know what? I said, when I was in high school, as well as you have, you know, we the 60 was the big thing, you know, 60, run the 60 defense. And he taught me that, you know, I have to look beyond the scope of things, because during that time, you know, everybody was running, you know, some type of three-back backfield. And he told me, he said, listen, if you're going to be a coach, you got to learn to step out of the box. And at the time, the 50 was just coming in to be what it is. And he taught me to learn how to change and how to adapt. So, you know, I was kind of lucky. You know, I came up where, you know, I had a gentleman that took the time and showed me that it's X's and O's, but it's also Jimmy and Joe's. So it kind of gave me a foothold to what I really need to do and how I need to do it.
You went to South Carolina State. Did you play there?
Now, when I went to South Carolina State, I went. Matter of fact, my first year, I went to South Carolina State. I was thinking about playing football. That was my goal. My goal was to play football. And when I got there, I found out I'd gotten sick, and I had a good coach at the time. Coach Jeffers. Coach Jeffries pulled me aside. He was the head coach of South Carolina State. He said, well, Nate, you need to go ahead and get in the weight room and get strong. You're going to be my punt and kick returner. I said, yes, sir. And that's what I was going to be. And as the season went on, I got in the weight room, got stronger. And all of a sudden, the guy who was the defensive coordinator, Coach Cartwright Carson, saw me. And he was coaching wrestling at the time. He said, Nate, I want you to be a wrestler. I said, really? He said, yes. So I said, okay. I said, I'll try it. I went out there, and I was confessed and stuff like that, but I seemed like I wasn't grasping like I wanted to. So he said, just hang in there. And I hung in until the end of the year. And at the end of the year when I hung in there, I said, Coach Carson, I'm getting ready to go to football. He said, well, Nate, I'm going to tell you something. Football, we're going to give you a half scholarship. He said, but wrestling, we're going to give you a full scholarship. Well, I went home, and my daddy, the only thing he learned was that you get a full scholarship. He didn't hear anything about the half scholarship in football. So I ended up wrestling for three other years on scholarship in wrestling. But I also coach took me aside. He said, look here, I want you to learn football. And he took me and brought me to practice. He made me a manager. He made me work with the trainer. He made me work with the equipment guy. And it taught me a lot about football and players. And it was in a different venue. And then as my junior year, I became one of the stat guys to learn how to do stats and how to break down film. And so that was a whole different animal than just actually playing. And it kind of set up to what, I knew I wanted to be. And, with Coach Jeffries, and Coach Jeffries would say, all right, Nate, what did you see on film, or what did you see doing stats? You did your stats, so what do we look good, what do we look bad at? And that was a big thing in my life, to be able to do things like that. And that made a difference in getting ready for football and be ready to coach football. So I kind of owe that to Coach Jeffries, and I owe that to my stepdad. They took the time to do the little things and to get me prepared. So even though I wrestled for 4 years on scholarship, I never gave up the love of football.
I never knew that about you, Nick. Never knew.
Yes, sir.
It's just amazing what happens when you start asking questions, about it. And we've known each other. I was, before you got on, I was telling people we've known each other since, got to be 97, 98, I believe.
Yes, sir.
When I was at Burke, and we got to know each other, and but my goodness, we just formed a friendship,
Sir. I'm telling you, I watched you work kids, and I had admiration for that. And I think the year that we played Woodland, and for playoffs, I was at Carver's Bay at the time, and you were at Woodland, and you showed me some things, and you told me, we couldn't do this to you, or we couldn't do that to you, after the game. And I was like, we're talking football, game's over, we're sitting here talking football, while everybody else is, loading up and everything. And I said, that young man, I ain't calling it old man, that young man knows football. And that really impressed me. And after that, every time I turned around, when I found you, I was ready to just wanting to talk to you about stuff, and that created a real good friendship with us.
The relationship, I tell guys all the time, it's not about X's and O's, it's about relationships, and those relationships will go on a lot longer than this stupid game. And, somebody that you can sit down and talk to when you got a problem or whatever, or you just want to sit down and talk. I know we talk a lot about things other than football now because of things that are going on, with our young coaches and everything. And we just sit down and talk about it.
Right. And that's the key, is that getting young coaches to understand that, and what you're doing right now, Leonard, is vital importance. We have to realize that it's still a human aspect to coaching, and especially our young kids. Especially our young African-American kids. we sometimes seem to get caught up in the X's and O's. And we don't understand that that young man, when he goes home from your practice, is he going to eat? He comes home, he goes home, what kind of house is he going to go to? And, you know, we demand a lot of this young man as he in practice, as he goes through his practices and his drills and whatever. And we got to realize that he has a different life, another life. But that life is connected to you because for some reason that young man believes in his coach. He believes that that coach can do things for him. And we have to step up to the plate to understand the X's and O's are great, but the Jimmys and Joes are even greater. And we have to understand that these kids, they need our help other than just on the football field. They need our help when they're off the football field. They need our help when they're in the classrooms. They need our help when they're in that social life, because that social life makes a difference whether they become a football player or a young man in life, because that's where we step in at. And that's what we got. We cannot fall short of that. We got to be there and make sure that they believe in what we're doing. And if they believe in what we're doing, then they'll begin to say, okay, you know, that's what I want to do. That's how our profession gets started. We've got to be able to reach out to those kids and hold them and let them know that, hey, we care. We care after football season. After football season, we got to care. One thing I do, you know, they think it's strange, is that every morning I've got bus duty. Well, when the kids get off the buses, I'm speaking there. Right, good morning. How you doing, partner? How things going, sir? You doing all right? Hey, you know, you got to get the hoodie off now. You doing? Hey, how things go this weekend? How's it? Give me a fist pump. You know, and I see them every morning. And there's a couple of mornings when I'm not feeling good, and they coming through, and I'm not, you all right? What's wrong? Well, coach, you okay? You know, you realize that they've been listening to you, even though they come through sometime in the morning, they're grumbling and whatever. But believe me, they wait on you saying good morning. They wait on you saying how you doing. They live for that little bit. It's that little bit of just saying from you as they walk through you. Because when they get off that bus, you know, they're getting off in all kind of situations, and they need that thing to say, somebody say, hey, good morning, sir. They don't get to hear that, sir. They don't get to hear that, good morning, how you doing? All right, now, get your head up. We're going to be all right today. They live for that, and those are the things that we don't do. It's the little things sometimes. It's not the big things, and it's not doing on the football field. It's off the football field. You know, and that's the key. And usually it's not during the season, it's off the season, that we got to still keep in contact with our kids.
And I think what you're saying is that we got to build relationship with these kids at all times. You know, and that carries through the relationship. Because if you build that relationship, they'll run through a wall if you
tell them. Yes, sir. Because they're young. We have to remember, they're kids. They're students. Young, they have not grasped what we've grasped yet. They're sort of searching and feeling, and they got a lot of things out there that can take their time, you know, and they know that can take their time. You have to be, what makes the difference? Why do I want to do what coach doing? Why do I want to be out here? What's going to end result of being out here? You know, and those are the things that we have to instill in them, is that it's a daily constant grind. You cannot just give up. You cannot just waver. You got to keep plugging. And it's hard. We let them know it's hard. You know, and as they learn it's hard, because when they practice field, there's no guarantee that you're going to start. There's no guarantee you're going to get 1,000 yards a season. There's no guarantee you're going to get 52 tackles. But you keep grinding. You keep believing in what you're doing. And as every year comes, you get better and better, and they see themselves getting better. And when they do that, they begin to understand. Something also needs to be done is that now that camps are being formed, we need to get our kids out to those camps and get them out to those combines. Let people see what we have. Because when you're in, excuse the expression, I'm down here in South Carolina. And in South Carolina, you know, we're a small market. And as a small market, there's nobody know who your kids are. If you don't put your kids out there, then nobody's going to even take the time. There's almost 200 and something, you know, colleges out there, just majors. And how do those major colleges know who your child is? You know, they hoping they pick it up on the data report or whatever, or you got this one kid that rises above. But then there's multiple kids that are just as good, but no one ever sees them. So you have to get them out there, and you have to get the name out there. You have to sort of call these coaches and call these college coaches and tell them about your kids. Send them a transcript. Send them a questionnaire. Give them a link to your huddle. That way they get a chance to look at your children. You look at your kids and say, you know, okay, I like that kid. That kid's got good GPA. That kid's got a good attitude. We need to look at trying to get that kid in. Whereas if we don't do that, our kids go lacking.
You have certainly lived what you just said, because I'm looking at the kids that you have put to the schools and everything. I'm not even going to touch the NFL ones right now because, you know, you got four in junior, you got 10 Division II players, you got eight Division I, III players, you got seven 1A players, you know, over the years. You got two players who played in the CFL, and you got four players who played in the NFL. And well, you just hit a good stream of genes right there.
Yeah, I like I said, it's the X's and the, I mean, the Jimmy's and Joe's, not the X's and O's. But if I can share with the young coaches something that might be an enlightenment, is something that I do. And I know you called me and you said, well, coach, I need to know what you're doing. Well, what's going on there? Why are you getting these? Well, I fight to get these kids to school. What I do is basic. You know, I take the time and I set up a database, my own database. And what I do is I get online, I find out who these recruiters are, I get their email, I get their phone number, and I get their name. And I do this for all the colleges, Division I, Division II, and Division III. I also do this for junior colleges. Not every kid you have is going to be a major college player. You have to come to grips with that. Not only that, every kid that you get not going to be Division II. They might be Division III. Some of the kids that are very, very good, because they have not paid attention to the NCAA standard, they're junior college kids. I've had a young man, he's a heck of a talent, a great, and what happened was he was short of courses. You know, he was stuck in a little bit of resource at the time. This young man, because of what we did, sending out questionnaires and sending out transcripts, he got picked up by junior college. As soon as school got out, he was there. And he stayed that summer, getting grades up, and he spent 2 years at a junior college. After the 2 years, the young man went up to the University of Kentucky. So, you know, there are ways that you cannot give up on a kid.
You never give up on it because, what if someone had given up on us?
Exactly.
You know, we won't be where we are right now. And I know, you know, the reason I'm a coach right now is because our basketball coach, I went to C.A. Brown High School, and our basketball coach, I thought that man walked on water. His name was Kenny Williams. And I just loved the way he coached, man. Now, he won about three full state championships in basketball there. But I just love him,
sir.
I love his energy. He never lost his cool. And I said, I won't be like that. So you
right.
Never know. You know, you never know who that kid who's standing back looking at you and seeing you. And that's why it's important that I think you got to be very careful out there in the public, because you don't know who's looking at you. And these kids see you. They don't hear what you're saying. They hear what you do.
Exactly. And not only them, their parents are watching too.
Yes.
You know, when you go out to these adult settings, believe me, they're there. And they're waiting to see what happens.
You just got to protect yourself, protect your name. Yes, they want to call it today. They got a different name for the name now. It's protect your brand. You know, you got to protect. You don't have a name,
yes, sir,
anymore.
I
you got a brand.
There you go. Yes, sir. You're exactly right. You know, it's important for us to understand that as African American coaches, we're beginning to hit the rise. What we don't need to understand is that no, we're not falling short. We're beginning to hit the rise. A lot of schools that normally would not get an African American coach are now getting them, not just as an assistant, but as a head coach. And that's a major, you know, step. And, you know, that's the thing that we have to look at. At one time, majority of the predominantly black school, high schools or African American schools, they were getting, you know, African American coaches. But now the trend is beginning to change because they realize that we take care of the kids and we believe in what we're doing, and we are able to get along with whoever we need to get to what our purpose are. And so that's a big step that's coming, and I want young coaches, young African-American coaches to realize, do not let this hinder you. You know, you have to step out and believe in that faith that you can do the job. If you already know you can do the job, then apply. Then not only apply, give it your best shot. If you don't get it, fine, but give it your best shot. And that's what I always believed in. I think a long time ago, someone told me, said, I was at one of these coaches' conferences, and they said, we've never had a black president of the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. Ain't no need to shoot for that. I said, I beg to differ. I said, I'm just like these guys. And I said, I work with them, and I coach with them. I said, I think I can do that. And then I started applying to want to be on that committee, and end up on that committee. The next thing I know, I kept hammering, and all of a sudden, I was the second vice president. From second vice president, I went to first vice president. First vice president, I went to the president. South Carolina Athletic Coach Association have never had an African American president until me, in the 67-year history of it. And I tell them, and the reason I did it, not because I want to say, okay, I'm the first one. I want to do it because I want to let all other African-American coaches that put in the time, that put in the effort, this can be where you can be where I'm at. There's no difference between me and you. It's just a matter of putting in the time and putting in the work and believing that your kids are a part of all those programs, then you need to be a part of that also, especially when it comes to decision making.
And I was going to segue to that, you know. And would you mind talking a little bit more about being a part of these organizations and going to these meetings and networking? How important that is, not only to that individual coach but also to his program. You want to just go ahead and expound on that some more?
Well, I think what it means is this. I've been lucky enough, and I've been blessed that I've been on the South Carolina Football Coaches Association, and I have been a 1A lower state director. Now I'm a 2A lower state director. And the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association, we're the ones that put on the meetings and have the all-stars and vote on certain things. And I've been lucky enough to rise to the level of president, first past president, second past president, and third past president. And the thing about that is now here I am as the third past president. I'm no longer on the board, but I am on the Hall of Fame committee, and I get to vote on who goes into the Hall of Fame. The sad part is I can't get in yet, but I'm voting on who goes in. But the other thing is I also vote on who goes into the Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame. And being an African American, I have to get up and I have to speak for all the black coaches that whether basketball, baseball, football, track, tennis. I get up and I speak for the ones that I know. The ones that I know deserve to be there, that know that they don't have a voice to. But if I'm not there, they don't have that voice. And I have to take that upon myself, whether I like it or not, whether they get the vote or not. But am I going to get up and speak and hope that they can get into the Hall of Fame? Because they deserve it. They've played their time. They paid their time. They paid their dues. And it's like no one's really noticed. So when you don't have anybody, and it's not the committee fault, because the committee don't know who these coaches are. You know, when these coaches came along, it was the turn of the century. You know, and now someone has to step up and say, listen, let me tell you about this young man. Let me tell you about this gentleman that you're reading about right here. This is why he should be here. And with the Coaches Association, I spoke up. I couldn't believe this, but it happened. And I always say this is one of the things that I tell people why it's important. We had a coach that was a great coach at Howard High School. You know, he did a great job at Howard High School. No one really noticed him, you know, and he did a great job. And so when I got up and spoke for him, there's a few coaches that knew him, but see, he came at the turn of the century. And see, what happens is they don't keep records of the Black Coaches Association. Nobody ever kept records of, you know, who did this. Only they kept records who won the state championship. Well, this coach is luckily enough had won two state championships. And they came to me, I said, this gentleman need to be in the Hall. He deserved to be in the Hall. This gentleman, when he was coaching, he would go and work at night after football practice and teaching and go work at the emergency room to raise money so that he can get cleats for his kids. His kids had no shoes. He would go there and work at night and take the money that he got at night working and buy cleats for his kids. This is how they afford to have kids and even have cleats in Georgetown, South Carolina. So now, here this young man come up. I explained to them. I said, you know, you talking about a coach that go beyond just coaching and go beyond just winning state championships. He would work hard so that his kids can have the things that normally they could not get. They said, well, okay, that's great. So I called his parent. I have them on the Coaches Association at the time. And they said, well, Coach, he's in. I said, great. So I called his daughter. You know, unfortunately, he had died, but his wife was still living. And I called his daughter. And I said, listen, I said, your dad is going to be inducted into the Coaches Hall of Fame. And she said, really? I said, yeah. I said, great. So that was in the conversation. So she called me, and she said, well, Coach Thompson, how many tickets can I get? I said, how many tickets can you get? I said, well, you have to call the office and talk to, you know, the executive director. He'll tell you how many tickets. Well, the executive director, secretary called me and said, well, Coach Thompson, I just got a call. I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, you know, for the young lady from Georgetown and her, you know, her dad's going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame, and she wonder how many tickets she can get. I said, well, I told her to call you. You'd let her know. And she said, well, I told her she can get as many tickets. The secretary told her that she can get as many tickets as she can. I said, oh, great. And so it come to find out Howard High School has an alumni fund, alumni either organization. Well, they had 104 tickets. Each ticket went at $40 a plate. They brought 104 people to that banquet. That's the largest ever it's been at a South Carolina Coaches Association banquet. They left that morning in a van in a bus, trailway bus. They brought the wife in a limousine, and they had the church service that morning, and they had dinner, and they drove on to the banquet, and it was an awesome sight. You know, it's an awesome sight, and the way they brought him in, it was excellent. And he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. The next year, he was also inducted to the Football Coaches Hall of Fame. So, you know, we just started doing the Coaches Football Hall of Fame 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. He was one of the first initial inductees when it came to the Football Coaches Hall of Fame. So there's a way to do things.
Can I tell these people who you are talking about?
Yes, sir.
Because he was and is one of my idols, one of my heroes. I just love the man. That was the great Tommy Smith. And
yes, sir.
he was the real deal. As a matter of fact, my second football game ever as a head coach was against Howard when I was at C.A. Johnson. And we tied him at 6-6, and I thought I'd gone to heaven, man. I said, dang, I just
Oh, you did great, sir. You did great.
Yeah, man. I said, my goodness, we
That's
tied
excellent.
This game. You know, I said,
That's
God.
Excellent.
I mean, I was so thrilled and everything, but just to be able to coach against a legend like that, man, it just tickled me pink and everything. But and this is one of the reasons why I'm doing this thing, because guys don't know about the legends that have come up through South Carolina because of lack of record keeping and everything.
Exactly. And they don't know about the Tommy Smith, and they don't know about my man at Timmonsville, Bill Tate.
Yeah, Bill.
Coach Tate has coached in the North South as an assistant. head coach as a North-South. He's been assistant to Shrine Bowl, and he's been the head coach. Matter of fact, he was the first black African-American head coach at the Shrine Bowl. And guess what? They won.
Yep. We're going to have Bill on next month sometime because, you know, he's still at it. I think Bill, older like me, older than Dirk, but, you know, the passion for the game, the passion, not for the game, but for these kids, to make sure that these kids are doing what they need to do. And, you know, guys ask me all the time, why are you hanging there so long? Man, these kids keep me here. They keep me young. They keep me going and everything. You know, it's a passion to make sure that that they do something, that they we show them the way to do great things in life. Congratulations, Nate. I didn't know that you were the South head coach in the North
yes,
South
I'm, yes, sir. Thank you.
How'd you
I was very
to do
lucky.
That?
Well, it's a funny thing. by being on the South Carolina Football Coaches Association, we get to figure out who's going to be the head coach or who's going to be coaching. And I had to accuse myself while the voting was going on. But it's a great honor. And I just last Thursday had a meeting with my staff. And they're excited. And, you know, I'm excited. I think it's a great honor. I really do. Because, you know, anytime you become the head coach and you become to decide where everyone goes and what everyone does, you know, that's a great honor. So I really feel good, and I feel honored about, you know, being able to, you know, to do those things and talk to – I had a chance to talk to some of the other African-American coaches that had that situation. They told me, said, Coach, do what you do best. He said, you know, most of the – some of the ones that have taught – I've taught them, they've taught me, and said, listen, Coach, you'll be okay. Just learn, enjoy the ride. It's due. So I really feel honored that, you know, that I was chosen. And man, it's a hell of an honor. It's a beautiful honor.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to do that.
And you got a couple of head coach of the year this year, and I know it's because of that staff you got. I mean, you got a great staff down there for young guys.
You know, you got to bring the young guys in. Us old guys got to realize that we can't pull that weight by ourselves anymore. And to be honest, I've been lucky. I've been lucky. When you talk about staff, I'm going to segue into that staff, is that, you know, when my defensive coordinator, I coached him at Chappie High School. And he went on to play at University of South Carolina as a walk-on. Well, now, as a defensive back, now he's my defensive coordinator. My offensive coordinator was a walk-on. He was a walk-on at University of South Carolina. And he ended up his last 2 years playing as the daggone fullback for University of South Carolina under Steve Spurrier. And now he's my offensive coordinator. So it really feels good to know that you got two young men that's from the community, that knows the kids, that played on a different level and come back. You know, the young man that's my defensive coordinator, he's now teaching at my school. The one that's the offensive coordinator, he went, like I said, he was a walk-on. He came in on a scholarship, and he is now an electrical engineer for Santee Cooper. So he has really expired beyond what coaching ran, but he loves coaching, and now he's still helping me coach. So, you know, it's just great when you got the young people come back as part of your community, and not only part of your community, come back to contribute in that type of way.
Well, they are good staff. But I remember when we scrimmaged you, and I said, you know, Nate has hit the mother load now, because these guys are really, you can see they're really working with the kids and working this program and doing what they need to get done and everything. And of course, under your guidance, you know, you are letting them work and everything. And what do you look for in a coach when you
I laugh all the time because I always tell my coaches, I say, listen, when you come to work for me, I'm going to throw you in the deep end. I said, because I know what happens. My brother-in-law who raised me, you know, as my second dad, he threw me in the deep end. And I came, I said, man, I want to coach football. He said, fine. So we're at Myrtle Beach High School. He said, come on. So I came out. He said, you're the head coach of the Beach Choir. No ifs, ands, or buts. I'm like, what? He said, all right, I want you to coach him. And he just threw me in the deep end. So with these young men, when they come in, I said, look here, you're the offensive coordinator. You're the defensive coordinator. Make no mistake. I said, you get your program ready. I said, it's time for you to do your work. It's time for you to stand out and do what you need to do. And they look at me, and they're like, what? I said, yeah. I said, I'm not going to call a play. You are. I said, the only time I call a play, when it's fourth and one, and y'all look over at me and say, coach, well, okay, dog. Now it's time for me to earn my money. But until then, I let them become coaches. I let my coaches coach. You know, a lot of time, head coaches, that we got a tendency to want to control everything. And what happens with that is our other coaches don't grow. They kind of look at you and wait. So I made my coaches understand, you got to coach. You got to give, bring me a program. What are we going to do this week? How are we going to attack it this week? What are you getting ready to do this week so we can attack it? That's what I do on my Sundays when we meet in Sunday afternoon. I want to see I want to see what you've broken down, how you broken them down, why did you do this or why did you do that? I'm at them doing that stage. When we're on the field, I'll never question any of my coaches while we're on the field in front of my kids. Never do it. I always tell them, coach the best you can. And we come back in, you got a question about something, then me, you, and the staff, we'll get together and do that. But we'll never do it in front of kids because I want the kids to understand that they have to learn that you're a coach and they have to learn to believe in you, not just me, but they got to believe in you. Because when you're coaching offense, those offensive players got to believe in you. And when you're coaching defense and you're making those calls, that kid's got to believe that that call you make is a good call. And that's what it comes from. And that's why I talk about throwing him in the deep end. But the kids have really, the guys that I've had have really responded. And I've been lucky. The only bad part about being in a 1A school in a small area like Georgetown, South Carolina, you lose coaches. You know, I've had coaches go on to other coaching as head coaches who's been my assistants who I put out there, got them that experience, but they moved on, which I'm happy, you know, because I said, you know, I look at it this way. Those guys, you know, they have expired. You know, they moved on and got better. And they're now their own head coach. Matter of fact, one of them would replace you, Ed Marion, Quinn McCullough. Right. He was my defensive coordinator. The one that's at Saucus T, Davis, he was my defensive coordinator. Dave Maness now is in North Carolina. He was my offensive coordinator. Calcutt, he was my offensive coordinator. He was at Hannah Pablico. Now he's at Johnsonville. So those guys, they get jobs and they move on, and I'm happy. I think Damian Franklin, now he's at Keenan, you know, as the athletic director. So those guys have realized what it's all about, what you need to do, you know. And so that's the passion. The passion is not to hold them there, teach them as best I can, and make sure they understand the system so that when they do get an offer for a head coach, they're ready and ready to step out.
How long did it take you to get to where you are now as far as releasing the responsibilities to your assistant? How long did it take you to get there?
Believe it or not, since you ask. And, you know, I always tell you everything, Leonard. You know, you always be able to pull the best out of me. Is that I was at Conway High School from 1983 until 1998. And when I was at Conway High School, I went from being a defensive back coach, a wide receiver coach, defensive line coach, to defensive coordinator. And when I got to be the defensive coordinator, you know, we're at a 4A. Matter of fact, at the time when I left, we were a Big 16. And I was in charge of the defense. And I had an offensive coach. We grew up together and hung out together. But it was a different animal on the field. He was still worried about me, you know, as a defensive coach. He'd come down there, but coach, what are we going to do? I said, coach, I got it. Just go head back on over there. I got it. And he got to the point that he realized I can do my job, that he would come down, they'd fumble the ball, say, all right, coach, get it back. I know you can get it back. And this is the trust that he had in me and the faith that he had. I mean, I'm not worried about we lose the ball. You know, Nate had that defense to get him ready to go. You know, I ain't worried about Nate Thompson. Nate Thompson had that defense ready to go. And this is what I've learned. I've learned to get him to move him down on the other end of the other end of the field, and I'm on the other, and I coach him up. And when I started doing that, I started getting my defensive back coach, and I started getting my linebackers coach to coach. I said, I want you to be able to call it. I stood there a couple of times. I said, all right, and we called timeout. I said, defensive back coach, you going out there. He said, why are you going to send me out there? I said, because the linemen are not messing up. The linebackers are not messing up. Your defensive backs are messing up. So you need to go talk to him. And he said, and everybody said, well, the defense coordinator ain't going out there. It was no need for me to go out there. He need to understand. He got to go out there and talk to his kids. There's no need for me to go out there and talk to his kids. Then his kids start believing in me and not him. He has to understand that. Now, at Conway High School, that same defensive back and linebacker coach now is the defensive coordinator for Conway High School. When I left, they put him as the defensive coordinator in my place because he was ready. Because I've sent him out there a couple enough times that he realized that, okay, oh, coach, you keep sending me out there. I said, yep, get him right. And I know when it was time for me to go out there, well, okay, everything's kind of going real crazy. Let me walk on out here and get things right. But until that time, I knew as a defensive coordinator, whether the linebackers, whether the line, whether the defensive backs, whatever needed to be done, need to be done right then at a time out of whatever. And it made me a better coach because I had to understand. So when I got the head coaching job at Chaffee, I basically had to kind of do things myself until I found some coaches. And now when I found some coaches, believe it or not, I could not believe the staff that I inherited. I had Zach Great, who played pro ball. I had Johnny Giles, who played pro ball. I had Jackie Reed, who played pro ball. So I'm sitting there with a bunch of guys that are retired pro ball players, and all I had to do was put them in a position to coach. And when I did that, they started coaching. And when they got to the point they're coaching so good, I could see them wanting to go out, I said, something, going out to do it. And I found out that sometimes if you want to win on certain levels, you got to realize that the head coach don't know everything. You know, you got to relinquish some duties to make sure these guys, they're focused. They're more focused when they're a part of the program. When they're a part of the decision-making, they're more focused. They're less focused when they're waiting on you, whether it's offensively or defensively, to go out there and make the call. Then they're not really that focused. They have to learn to be focused, you know, by being a part of that program. So when they realize I'm the offensive coordinator, he's the defense coordinator, well, Nate Thompson, the head coach. Well, I'm the head coach because you got to go out there and coach. You cannot sit here and wait on me. If you are, then you're a liability. You're not a help. And they learn to be a help, and they learn that some of their ideas and things that we do before we come to practice is already put in motion. And now we get a chance. Now they get a chance to go out there and show the kids that, look, I'm good. I can coach it. I can do it. And the kids will start believing in them as well. They're already going to believe in me. You, as the head coach, they're going to believe in you. But then you got to get them to believe in your coaches. And one of the ways to do that, and it's a hard thing to do. I'm going to tell you, it's the hardest thing in the world to relinquish the duties to other coaches. And when you know there's certain things you want to call. But then as you look through the game as being a head coach and walking the sidelines, you see more and be able to give more advice than you are out there actually calling it. Because when you're calling, you're in the middle of the game. You have to keep pace with the game. So you don't have time to see the nuances. Look, hey, I see you running that trap. I said, but run it to the other side. I said, what they've did was they've shifted over their best player on the other side. So you can't see that because you're trying to keep pace with calling and what you want to do. Well, I'm seeing as an observer, they're shifting that kid over. They realize they're trying to match your strength with your strength. Go back against it. You're going to be successful. And that makes a difference. It makes a difference on defense when you look over there and say, listen, they have already realized they can exploit your left side. what are you going to do? Or defensively, I say, coach, defense coach, they love to run their sideline. They don't love to run over here. They like to run. You got certain coaches, all they want to do is run their sideline so they can see. I said, watch. I said, look and see what's happening. And you help them in that manner, but you still let them be that defensive coordinator, that offensive coordinator. And in the process of doing that, they become better coaches. And when they become better coaches, we begin to be a better team overall.
If you were to get an opportunity to spend time with any coach in America and you had 90 minutes to spend with that coach, who would that coach be and what would you talk about?
The guy that I probably spent time, he's not here anymore, but it'd been Eddie Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Robinson had a – I used to read up on him. I loved him. I read up on him a lot and learned a lot from him. And
I want to tell people who Eddie Robinson is. You know, we talk like these guys, you know.
You're right. I apologize for that. But Eddie Robinson was the head coach at Grambling University. And at Grambling University back in his day, Eddie Robinson, Grambling used to turn out more pros than any school in America other than Notre Dame. People don't realize that, but it's true. It wasn't just that Grambling was a great school. Grambling was one of the forefront when it comes to turning out NFL players. And the thing I want to sit with Eddie and talk to him about is the way he conducted that, how he conducted it. Because those were winning in championship ways. You know, a lot of kids that Eddie Robinson got were not great kids, but he turned them into being great kids. You know, and the other one which I do sit and talk with is Coach Willie Jeffries. Coach Jeffries is funny, he's talented, and he is a no nonsense coach. And matter of fact, he's right there, you know, right out of South Carolina. You know, he always tell you different stories and stuff. And one story he used to tell me used to make me laugh. He said, Coach, you know, when I got my first job, he said, man, I was out there and the kids, they ain't want to run and they want to act up. And he said, you know what? He said, I went back to my car. I took my little pistol and I shot him in the ass. All right, everybody run. He said, everybody took off and ran. He said, motivation is the key. He said, motivation is the key. You know, but he has so much knowledge, not just about from the high school level, but from the college level. But he also has the knowledge of how to deal with kids. I never forget when he went to he came down to a little school called Choppy High School. You know, Choppy was not known for anything. Nobody even knew about Choppy. But he started a pipeline there. First thing, you know, he started that pipeline. He got Robert Gathers. Then Robert Gathers ended up playing the Buffalo Bills. Then he got Jumpy Gathers when he went to Wichita. You know, and Jumpy ended up with two Super Bowl rings, one with Washington and one with Dallas. Then he got another one down there from Choppy. Then he got another from Choppy. Then he got another from Choppy. So South Carolina State every year had someone from Choppy High School because he started that pipeline. He realized those kids were very talented down there. And that's how he does it, you know. There's a guy named Irvin Parker.
Could you hold that thought for a second now? Could you hold that for a second? I think you may have a call in there. I got a telephone call. Hello, are you there? Hello?
Yeah, Coach, what's going on?
Yeah, who's this?
Coach Breland. It's Coach Breland.
Hey, what's going on, Breland?
I thought I recognized the number. Who the great talk?
I don't know about all that. I know we got one on the other side right there, okay?
Man, cut it up. How's everything?
Everything's going good. You got a question for Nate? Go ahead. You got the floor.
Nah, I'm just listening, man. I'm just enjoying your conversation.
Okay, well, if you got a question, just go ahead, Nate.
Well, I tell you this, Coach Breland. I tell you what, I really enjoy you. You know, as an old coach and watching a young coach move, watching a young coach take his reins. You know, I watched you at Hemingway when you played football there. Then I watched you moved up and you took a chance on going to Creek Bridge, and you fought through that. See the key that people don't understand is that you fought through that. You know, any coach said, well, you know, this, but you fought through that. Then you when you did have a chance to move, you moved. And when you moved and got into a program. And I follow you all the time on Facebook, believe it or not. You know, and I watched you work the kids out in Sumter. I watched you not just talk about their athletic feats. You talk about them as a person. You talk about your family and how things are going. And believe it or not, you might think nobody following it, but old guys like me that see a young guy like you really carrying that torch, I follow you.
No doubt, man. I appreciate it, man. I'm definitely enjoying where I'm at. I mean, I'm not saying that I didn't like Creek Bridge, but I'm definitely enjoying where I'm at, man. It's a blessing that I'm in a situation over here.
There you go. Hey, you know what, Coach? And I'm going to tell you like I tell most of the young guys. You know, it's good to be there. Work hard. Learn.
Oh, yeah.
But don't be afraid when the situation and the offer comes for you. Don't be afraid to take it.
Oh, yeah, no doubt, man. I tell you what, man. I'm glad I see y'all both going at it, man. You and –
Oh, yes, we
– You and the two of the great.
Well, you know, I tell you what, Coach Johnson knows more. I mean, you know, Coach Johnson knows a whole lot more than I do. Trust me. You know, and the thing is, I love him to death. I love what he's doing. I love that he's opening up to bring these coaches in, and you guys are listening. The major thing is that you guys are listening. And what I really want to happen with this program is I want us to reach out to other coaches and say, look here, at this time, we're going to be talking. You know, someone's going to be talking about football. Someone's going to be talking about trying to get us to another level. And this is where it starts. It starts somewhere. You know, and so when this conversation is over and this program is over, let's keep the conversation going. Let's make sure that the next time we hook up, we've got about 20 people trying to call in, trying to ask questions. And that's what we want, you know. And that's what we got to do. So Coach Johnson, we're gonna have to blow this up. We're gonna have we got to make sure that every coach that we know that this time, I don't care if you ain't got but a comment. I want you to be calling in.
I got my pad down right here, taking notes and everything. Believe it or not,
that's good, man. That is great. What we want to do to this, as I said at the very very beginning of this. Because, you know, the last three months, I've been thinking about doing this, and I was tied up on Sundays with my other show, and I said, you know, let's do it, you know, and I just did it, and I called you that day and said, hey man, you got to do this, you know, and you know, it's there.
Yes,
all we got to do, you know, all we got to do is make it happen, and this is part of me giving back, you know. You know, to try to get this together, because I know when I was a young coach, I had to drive all the way across the state to get what I'm getting right now. You know, what I want to do is try to make this thing better for the young guys so that they can go in and move forward. Because, you know, we're not going to be in this thing longer than I'm, Nate. And
we just want to make this thing better
for everybody.
And I think this is the way to go. I think that sometimes, you know, we have to start somewhere. And if we don't start somewhere, we won't start. And what you've done is great. I mean, you're putting together a program that right now it's at its infancy. But believe me, more and more people are going to tune in. More and more people are going to start believing and say, well, I got to listen to this program. It's coming on. You know, because this is what coaching is all about. You know, I could give you the X's O on the 50, on the 60, on the 4-4-3 front, and then the 5-4 front, 5-3 front. I could give you that. But then there's also, how do I reach my kids? Because the kids, the more kids you got in your program, the more kids that buy into what you're trying to get them to do, the better your program is going to be.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it, man. I said, Coach Thompson, you doing some big things, man. See you.
I'm sorry?
Uh-huh.
I said, doing big things, continue doing what you're doing, man.
Okay.
Well,
well
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. All right.
You got another, Nathan, I'm pulling another one. Let me see who this is. Hello, this is Leonard. Who am I talking with?
This is Jason Angles.
This is who? This is who?
Jason Angles.
Rookie? You got a question for Coach?
Coach, y'all doing a great job. I'm enjoying this tonight.
Oh, I'm glad
thank you.
Coach, I met you last week. I coached for Coach Johnson for 2 years over at Maine, and now I'm here with Coach McCullum.
Right.
I've been listening for a while. I met you last week, Coach, down at the beach.
Right.
I was listening to you talking about the building relationships part with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, that hardest kid, that toughest kid that you still see potential in, but that kid just wants to do his own thing. I mean, where do you pull from, where do you draw from to keep reaching out to that kid, trying to get him on the right track?
Well, My thing is this. I've had kids, what you talk about, that they want to be there, but they won't. They just can't. And once they're there, they keep seeing for some reason getting trouble. And I tell you, it's like trouble on their shoulders. And the thing you got to do with them coaches, you got to pull them aside. You got to pull them aside and say, son, you know, what's going on? Talk to me. You know, and some of them are reluctant. They're going to be reluctant. They're going to pull back. But you got to keep looking every day. Hey, how you doing, man? Come over here. What's up, man? Everything's good? Hey, everything. You got to keep developing that relationship with him. So you got to realize, Coach, he sees you as a coach. He doesn't see you as that person he can talk to yet. You know, so you got to get to the point that, you know, every day you see him, you know, walk up. You have to be the guy that initiates. Don't wait on him to initiate. Because he's not going to initiate. You know, you got, like I told Coach Leonard at the beginning, you know, when I'm out there at bus duty, I'm the first guy out there. When they get off the bus, I'm the first guy they're going to see. I'm the guy that shakes their hand. Hey, how you doing? How you doing this morning? Things good this morning? You know, I might put my fists out, make a little fist pump. That's it. You know, that's all we might get. But they get that every day that I'm out there. So they begin to say, you know, oh, you know, Coach, you all right? And sometimes, like I said, when I'm not good, they check in me. Coach, you all right? Everything's good? So what you have to do is develop that relationship with that kid over and over. It's not going to be easy. He's going to pull away. You know, sometimes we got a tendency to talk to our kids about what they need to be doing instead of saying, okay, son, what's going on? What can I help you with? You know, a lot of times they just don't have anybody that they can confide in to help them. You know, and sometimes you pull them aside and say, look here, I know you're struggling in your grades. Why are you struggling in your grades? Set up a situation where he can start getting his grades together, you know. Well, son, what's the situation at the home? You know, I know you want to go out. I know you want to hang out with the boys. Let me show you something different. When you get a chance, take him to a camp. Take him to a college. Let him talk to a college coach. Let him see a different side. See, you got to realize those kids are right there in that little hometown, and they don't know anything else but that. And they've learned to develop a sense of, you know, this is what I'm going to do. You know, even though I might be a star player, but this is it. I just want to be a star player and leave me alone. But they don't realize there's a new world out there and a world that they can reach for. So get some coaches that are interested in him. Let him get a letter. Let him let a letter come to the school that has his name on it. That means a lot to a kid, you know, to say, you know, I got to remember when you was in school and somebody sent you a letter, how that felt, that you picked that letter up and opened up, I don't care if it was just by the camera. It was from a college that meant so much to you. And so sometimes we got to realize we got to reach out to our kids. We got to do the same thing these colleges do. We got to go out and recruit our kids. We got to find out what's good and how we can go out and do that. And the best way is, first, we got to form some relationships with that kid. And form the relationships is speaking to that kid every day, letting him know you care about it. Because, first off, he don't think nobody cares anyway. He don't get nobody to speak to him all the time. And then all of a sudden, he'll begin to talk to you. And when he begins to talk to you, listen. Don't judge. Listen. And then once you listen, give him the advice that's going to help him, whether the advice is what he wants to hear or not, but by him listening. You know, I was brought up on an old vice of this. When you're giving people advice and they don't ask for it, they're not listening to you. But if they ask you a question, they're sitting there waiting for your answer. And so when he gets to that point that he's willing to listen to you and hear, he is waiting for your advice, and he will listen. And when that happens, you form a relationship with that kid other than football, and now he realizes, you know what, he's a good coach. I like him. I think I can work with him, you know, because you bought him. And then you can start telling him about, listen, son, it's good to go out and party, but what you going to do? Where's your future? Now show him some things that can happen in his future. And when you do that, all of a sudden, there's a whole new door that opens up. That door that always he thought would be closed to him. You know, like I said, I've got a kid, like I said, he went to Itawamba Junior College for 2 years, you know, because he couldn't go major college. And in the process, he's now starting for University of Kentucky at nose guard. He never thought that would happen. But he was the type of kid that he was, well, you know, that's it. So you got to keep that relationship going, and you got to go out there and recruit these kids, because a lot of times we give up on them. We say, oh, you know, the street done got them. Not necessarily. The same way the street got him, you can get him. So that's what you got to do as a coach. We got to go beyond just the X's and O's and go to the Jimmy and Joe's.
Coach James, that's a good question, man. I tell you what, I'm dealing with the same thing over here, man, and I'm something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I mean, they're kids. And see, what we got to remember, they are kids. They're not adults. And everybody impresses on them are not their friends. They don't know that, though. You know, it's easy to flash the cash. It's easy to walk with the gold tooth on, because they got their friends that they have to impress and look good in front of. Sometimes you got to catch them by themselves, and that way they don't feel embarrassed and they don't feel being put underneath the light. And you're talking to them, and then you invite them in the weight room. Work with them in the weight room. Let them know, I don't care what you lift, son, I'm going to work with you because I know you got talent. I believe in you. And you see him every day, and you, hey, man, how's things going? Hey, I got you. Things good? All right. You eat lunch? You know, just a little chit-chat. He began to enjoy that. And if you've done it with other kids, you know what I'm talking about, because those kids enjoy that. They enjoy you.
Oh, yeah.
But see, we got a tendency to rotate around the kids that rotate around us. And when we got a kid out there that has a lot of potential but got a lot of problems, we got a tendency, nah, I don't know if I'm going to deal with that. But sometimes that's the kid that you need to save. That's the kid you can save.
I appreciate it, Coach. That's some good advice.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Nate, touch on something, because a lot of guys ask me, you know, sometime, well, how do you get to be on the Shrine Bowl? How you get to be on the North, South, and everything? And one of the first thing I asked him, I said, well, do you join the association? Could you kind of go through how this thing happens?
Okay. Well, the first thing a long time ago, and one, my best thing is to start at the beginning. And I won't be long, I promise. As a football coach, like I told you, I looked around and I said, you know, we got all these black coaches, African-American coaches, and our association. And we're sitting here, and I look on the board, and there's none of us on the board. And I'm saying, there's something wrong with this. So how I went and I approached the people that own the board. Listen, I want to be a part of this. I said, I want to know, you know, what do I need to do to get on this board? I went and asked. And I come to find out, okay, this is how it's done. Well, see, what we have is a system. There's a system in place that every 2 years you get a chance to run for office. So I said, oh, really? I said, yeah, you get to run for office every 2 years. And see, every 2 years that let's say I'm running for 1A, well, the 1A office is up for voting. So all I have to do is call the South Carolina Football Coaches Association or the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association. They're two different entities. Because the South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association is over the South Carolina Football Coaches Association. The South Carolina Athletic Coaches Association, we are the governing body. We're not the one that necessarily put on the all-star events. We're just the governing body. We're the ones that set up like the major things when you have our coaches clinic. But the South Carolina Football Coaches Association, they'll put on the North-South All-Star Game. You know, they'll put on the Palmetto Champions Banquet. That's the Football Coaches Association. They'll also do the South Carolina Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame. But now the South Carolina Athletic Hall of Fame, that particular Hall of Fame covers everybody. So getting back, I kind of digress, but getting back, this is what I wanted to do. So I come to find out that on Tuesday when we have our meeting, what I got to do is get my name on the ballot for whatever I'm in. If I'm a 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, or 5A, upper or lower state, every 2 years, one or two of those offices are up for grabs. So what I do is I said, okay, what do I need to do to make sure? So they said, well, on Tuesday when we have our general meeting, we vote on who is going to be, you know, our lower state director. So I said, oh, great. So I said, well, then that's great. I said, but does that work? And they said, well, okay. So I did that. And I messed around, and I said, okay, I put my name on the ballot, and I just thought people were going to vote for me. It didn't work that way. I didn't hardly get any votes. So the next time I did it, I was more wiser. On Monday, the clinic starts on Sunday. I got there Monday, and I politicked. I told everybody, at 11 o'clock, we're going to be having a meeting at 11 o'clock. I said 11 o'clock and 11:30, we're going to vote on who is on our committee. I said, my name is on the ballot. I want you to vote for me. I said, I don't care about the usually around 11 o'clock, everybody trying to go to lunch. I don't want you to go to lunch. I want you in that room. So the Football Coach Association, they can be a basketball coach, assistant basketball coach, assistant football coach, baseball coach, or basketball coach. It doesn't matter. Because with the Coaches Association, that particular board of directors, they go by all votes at that particular 1A, that particular classification, 1A, 2A, 3A. So I make sure that all of the people that's going to be in 1A lower state, excuse me, all in 1A lower state, I make sure that they're in that room. They said, well, Coach, man, I got to go to lunch. I said, FCA got a lunch at 11:30. Don't worry, I'll get y'all tickets. So you make sure your people are in that room. If they're in that room, they get a chance to vote. Because if you notice, most of you vote, you get your slips. That's how it's done. Excuse me. So that's the thing with the South Carolina Athletic Coach Association. You got to have your people in the room and ready to vote. But you got to do that beforehand. You can't do it when they get there. You got to make sure that they are in that room. That female basketball coach, make sure she's in the room. That softball coach, make sure he or she is in that room. They get to vote. If they're on your classification, make sure they're in that room to vote for you. And when that happens, you're going to win. And the Football Coach Association, their election is on Wednesday during the football rules clinic. Just before the rules clinic, we have the voting that goes on, which most of you realize. But you got to politic ahead of time. You got to get your people in the room ahead of time. And you got the people, a lot of people don't even know that you're even on the ballot till they get the ballot. Let them know you're on the ballot so that when I talk to the basketball coach, he's 1A, he's talking also to the other 1A basketball coach from another school. He's talking to another basketball coach from another 1A school. So all those people are in the room. And when it comes to Football Coach Association, I've got that football coach talking to all of his assistants and having there. And then the coach from Estelle to have all his there. You know, the coach from Bowman going to have all his there. So what's happening, we're having all our assistants and coaches there voting on 1A, which helps me. So that's the process. The process is we have to realize, first, get our name on the ballot. Then when we get our name on the ballot, be able to come to the clinic early. Find those people that's in your classification in the lower state, if it's 1A lower state or 1A upper state. If it's 4A lower state or 5A lower state, it doesn't matter. You need to find out who those people are ahead of time. Go around. Talk to them. I need your vote. I need you to be in that room. Tell them, I want your vote, but you can't vote for me unless you're in that room. And they realize that, you know what, even though whatever's going on, whether they're at the vendors or whether they're at a meeting, you know, it's like, well, I got to go down here and vote for so-and-so. And they will go down there and go in that room and be ready to vote for you. And that's the key. That's really how we get on the South Carolina Coach Association. That's how we get on the South Carolina Football Coach Association.
Well, that is –
thanks for that.
That is – go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Breeland.
No, I was saying thanks for the information.
Yeah.
Yep.
You got to show up. You got to show up,
yes,
and
sir.
You got to get these things, and you got to become part of the organization. A lot of guys don't want to become part, and they wonder why nobody is looking at them for the all-star teams or the Shrine Bowl. And I said, hey, you got to become a part of the organization. You got to get your name up there. It's a different animal.
And if you don't do your homework,
go ahead.
Oh, yeah. What when you're dealing with the Shrine Bowl and the North South, what we do is I've been lucky enough that I've been in 2005 I was assistant coach, and now this coming year 2017 I'll be the head coach, and I've been lucky enough that I've been on the South Carolina Football Coach Association, which recommends who's going to be coaching the North South. And what we do is we look at the longevity of coaches that's been in the program. It doesn't really matter what your record is. It just matters that you're willing to hang in, be a part of the Football Coach Association, sign up, and stay a part of that. Because each year you are head coach, each year you move up. And that's the key. The key is being a part of and keeping your membership there. Because as we look through, you know, we look through, said it doesn't matter if you 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, or 5A. It doesn't matter. It matters that you be there. Now, the other thing about the Football Coach Association I like is that assistant coaches, we pick at least two assistant coaches every year, two from lower state and two from upper state, every year to be a part of that coaching staff. So that way, even as you as an assistant coach, if you be in there, you have a shot. You know, and that's why I tell coaches, join. You know, a lot of coaches don't join. They let the memberships go. Keep it, because in the long run, you don't have to be a head coach to get it. You can be an assistant coach and still be a part of the staff. And that's, you know, that's paramount.
I tell you what, and that is one hell of a week. I tell you, both experiences.
Yes, sir.
Now, you work when you get there. But boy, it's a great week, and I just love every second of it. You know, dealing with getting to know coaches that you never worked with before and everything. Well, Nate,
and you realize,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And you realize, you know, those guys are just like you. Those guys,
mm-hmm.
they work hard and they believe in you. And you know, the thing is, they don't realize, even though you are a 1A or 2A coach or even a 3A coach, they realize, they say, gosh, this guy has a wealth of knowledge to bring to the table. And then you realize, man, you know, they're just like me. And there's no difference there. It's just a matter of we're staff. And we love it.
Okay, well, Nate, I'm getting ready to let you go play with Mama for a little bit. I know you give me giving me some prime time right here, and I don't want her looking at me kind of crazy. Any parting words you want to leave us? Any words of wisdom?
My words of wisdom is two things I always tell my kids. I tell my kids all the time, you know, they talk about things they want to do. And I tell them, I say, you know, talk is cheap. Mr. Do is the man. And I got that a little bit from Mama because, you know, she used to jump on me about that. But I tell my kids, you know, you talk a good game. But now it's time to produce. So, you know, talk is, I say to my kids, talk is cheap. And my kids will say, Mr. Do is the man. They know that we have to do. We just can't talk about it. We got to be about it. And that's the thing that we put it. And I always tell them, you know, tough times never last. Tough people do. You know, you're going to have some tough times in your life. But what are you going to do about it? Are you going to just lay down and let it take you? Or are you going to fight through it? Because if you fight through it, you realize it doesn't last long. So tough times never last, but the tough people will. And that's why I tell my kids, and the last and foremost thing I tell my kids is that, you know, start out like you're going to hold out. And I tell my coaches that. Start out like you're going to hold out. Don't change on these kids. Whatever you show them at the beginning, is that what you're going to stick with? You know, don't waver. They're watching you. They know when you waver. You know, even in your classrooms, you talk about you're going to bear down on your kids and you don't. Your kids see that. They know. Start out like you're going to hold out. You know, and kids respect you for who you are. You know, I always tell my kids, you can remember right now, back in the day, as we've been coaching, you can go back to your elementary and your middle school, and you can tell me who your hard teachers are. But you can't tell me who the good teachers are, but you can tell me who them tall hard teachers are. Because those hard teachers make you perform. They make you do what you need to do. They started out like they're going to hold out, and you say, you know what? Oh, Miss so-and-so, she's still teaching. Oh, she's still mean. Because she started out like she's going to hold out. And in the coaching world, we got to learn that if we're going to treat our kids right, treat them at the beginning. And also, don't give them any leeway that they're not supposed to have. Not because they're a superstar. Sometimes we get caught up and go, oh, he hurt and he my star. I got to know. He got to perform like all the rest of them. If he hurt, he's out. The next kid steps up. And the next kid step up will play his best because he knows this is his shot. So I always tell them, treat every kid great. Believe in what you do. Don't waver. You know, believe in it. And when you believe in it, always give a kid a back door. Just remember, they're still kids. They're not adults. They might act like adults. They might even look like adults. But they're kids. Only you have that type of experience, and that's why they're there, and that's why you're there. You're there to make sure that they understand why that experience is all about. And, guys, you got it. You already know it. All you got to do is produce it. And I tell you what, South Carolina football so far as African-American coaches is on the rise. And we just got to keep it going because our kids now, more than ever, are going to look up to us. And we got to be there for them. And we got to make sure that, listen, this is a great profession. Do not think anything otherwise. And they won't. And I tell you what, my hat's off to you guys. You young guys have brought new innovation. You brought new technique. You brought a new sense of pride to coaching on the high school level. Don't lose that. Keep that. Because I tell you what, from an old guy, y'all make me proud. And Mr. Johnson, thank you for having me, Coach. I feel honored, you know, because sometimes I ramble and run my mouth a lot. But I tell you what, this is probably one of the greatest voice pieces you can have. And you keep this going. And I promise you, I'm going to promote you as much as I can.
Well, Ned, thank you for being on, man. And the pledge is all on head. I learned more tonight than I did in a long time, you know, as far as relationship building and everything. And I've been doing this for a long time. And Breland, I think you're still there. Thank you for calling, man. I really appreciate you. And Breland and I know each other well.
Y'all take it easy, man.
Take care, Breland.
Yes, sir.
Nate, thank you a bunch, and I'll holler at you sometime later in the week. But, man, thank you so much for being on. I really appreciate it, man.
Well, I thank you for having me because there's not a better forum right now that we got going than what you have. And I really thank you for stepping up, you know, and taking this task.
Okay, man. Thank you. Have a good night, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Bye-bye. All right.
Bye-bye. Well, guys, that's the great Nate Thompson. And, boy, that was a lot of fun. I mean, you see the guy. You see why the guy is so great at what he does. And, wow. What I need for you to do is spread this around. Every Monday night, we'll be here at 7 o'clock with the African-American Hour. And we're just going to talk brothers. We're going to talk about football, and we're going to talk about our experience and, you know, give you a platform to talk about you and your program and your kids. And, you know, we just love doing this. We just love doing this and giving you the platform. Gosh, I'm so excited. Listen, next week we're going to have the famous Butch Crosby from Bamberg Earhart High School. He's done wonders with that program down there. And, guys, wow. You know, he gets his kids in school. He has a great program going on there. He's going to be on next week. So, until next week, guys, 7 o'clock, the Afro American Experience. I like that name. Y'all have a good night.
The bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
That's a good night, guys, and just tell somebody you love them tonight. Have a great week. Good night.